This week's episode is sponsored by Sales Producers. Sales Producers is a progressive business-to-business company representing gift, fashion, personal care, and kids, selling to retail stores with a personal mission to create long-lasting, profitable relationships by adding significant value to our customers, vendors, and team partners. For more information, check out our social media on Instagram or Facebook, or go to our website, salesproducersinc.com. Hey there, I'm Michelle Charrier, and this is the Retail Whore Podcast, the stories and lessons from a life in retail. Hello, hello, guys. You know I'm trying to mix things up to make sure that we have not only retailers, but wholesalers, as well as educational people to give you more tools for your toolbox. Today's interview is just that. Today I'm interviewing Jason Mauser, who actually I have to thank my husband for this because he is the one who is friends with Jason. They go back to South Bay playing volleyball and whatnot at the beach together. And Jason put a book out. Dave said to me, okay, you really need to interview Jason. Jason wrote the book, Don't Shut the Fuck Up. He is a salesperson that has totally flipped the switch on how to sell. I say it all the time. The old school way of selling is somewhat outdated, especially when you're talking about big brands, big business, not on the retail floor. Although, yes, sales techniques have somewhat changed on the retail floor. But as far as in the sales world, cars, diamonds, I don't know, big items, sales are very different. And I know personally, when I go buy a car, the swarminess of car salesmen, I'm so sorry, no dig to any of you, but you all know what I'm talking about. You go into a car lot and it's like, I'm just here to look. Don't worry about it. I'm fine. Jason has perfected the art of selling in a totally different way. He has 35 years of diverse sales experience. His client list includes Toyota Motors, Cedars-Sinai, Los Angeles Dodgers, Disney, Warner Brothers, Museum of Contemporary Art, Universal Studios, Los Angeles Convention Center. The list goes on. And he literally has flipped the switch on how to sell. He's written this book. It's an easy read. It's, I think, 15 chapters, but he goes through what his success is. And a lot of it goes completely against the grain of how we all have been taught to sell, whether it's big box or it's retail or whatnot, but it is a completely different way. And it is so refreshing to hear this new way of selling. So without further ado, here's Jason Mauser and his book, Don't Shut the Fuck Up. Jason, welcome to the Retail Whore Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, number one, I'd set the be super transparent so everyone knows you are a friend of my husband's, but you have an extensive background in sales and you wrote a book that I feel like purposely is supposed to be on this podcast, Don't Shut the Fuck Up.
That's right.
I love it so much, Dave. You know, a little background so everyone knows. Dave had been going through social media or whatever, and he was like, oh my God, Mauser wrote a book. So, and then diving more into it, I turned around to him like, you have to DM him for me and please tell him he has to be on the podcast because I can't think of a better marriage.
Well, yes, because it is a good fit. At first you think, well, sales, but with merchandising and all the people who've been on your podcast, it's like I've been, you know, listening to them, and it is a really good fit.
So everyone knows Don't Shut the Fuck Up is about sales, and you have a very extensive background in sales. So tell everyone, just so everyone can get caught up to like why you can be an authority, because shit, you have a shit ton of sales background. So talk a little bit about your history and how you came to doing this book.
So yeah, you know, I don't even really talk too much about it usually, but it is. I did do retail. I actually ran a gallery on Rodeo Drive years, like 25 years ago, and sold art. And I had a website called the Fine Art Collection .com, and dealt with a lot of obviously high end retail. And that was the beginning of really learning to deal with, you know, a certain kind of, you know, sales, you know, when you're dealing with people and different types of people, and wealthy people are the worst people to work with, because they obviously can get whatever they want. And so that was kind of the beginning of my sales experience. And then it transcended into working in a textile business. And it was a very difficult sales process in that. And then having my own business where I actually do wholesale and sourcing for, you know, all different kinds of companies. So lots of going to shows like a lot of your listeners do. And I'm on usually the buying side, but I can see where their struggles are and that me having to deal with my customers. And I was asked about 12 years ago to do a presentation because I was doing very well for one of the companies I worked for. And I tried to think about, how am I going to do this without being like, oh, I'm so amazing. You know, I do this and I do that and you should do this. So basically, I was asked to do a presentation and I just didn't want to look like a total a-hole that thought they were super cool. So I was trying to figure out, how can I get across the things that I've learned, you know, what's working, what's not working, and really get it across. And I decided to come up with questions and answers. So they're really basic questions like, who's in charge? You know, does your company actually want this customer? All the standard questions, but they're my answers to those questions. And they're the answers that work. And I was seeing, you know, with other training and other things I read, I really feel like as much as there's a million people out there teaching this stuff, they're not that real. Their answers and what they're telling you to do is kind of not what's really going on with the sales and, you know, salesperson relationship. So my book is literally about just going over those questions and creating a different mindset. So you're kind of in a win-win situation. You're creating a relationship and you're not being transactional at all. You're really trying to get hired by the customer or client.
You're kind of flipping the script on old school sales. And that's what I love. I mean, because, you know, my dad was a salesman and then he ended up being like high up in Xerox. Like a lot of parents, our fathers were salesmen in a company. It was like the old school way and wining, dining, and you did what the client needed. And you're flipping the script on that. Not that you're not giving the client what they want, but you are putting the salesperson, it sounds and feels very much like you're giving them the keys to the driver's seat versus the customer's driving the sale and you're in the passenger seat kind of like trying to like navigate it. It's very flip the script, which I love. It's a lot of people would call it a disruptor.
And the companies that I worked with and for, they treated me like this lone wolf, like, you know, guy. Well, it works for Jason, but, you know, don't try to do it or don't do it. And I would laugh. I was like, they all should be doing this because I'm only doing it because it works. And it actually is way easier because they don't treat me like a salesperson.
Yeah.
You know, I don't put that in the book because I didn't want to disrespect the sales, you know, salespeople and, you know, and salesmen, that it's a great job, but no one likes to be treated that way. Everybody wants to be treated like a consultant, you know, and that's the buzzword, be a consultant. Well, my book really teaches you how to be a consultant without even acting like a consultant, right?
I like it because one of the quotes you said, it's you're not being too salesman-y. And it's like, that is the number one reason why I fucking hate to go to car dealerships.
Because right.
God, it's like and I'm sorry, car dealership salespeople, but.
Right. Exactly. That's why I didn't want to
say it. Swarmiest guys. And it's like, majority of it's guys. And they're, you know, the guys. And it's like, God, it's so fucking swarmy. And it's like, I love when you said that, because that's the first thing I went to. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of retailers, you know, and it's funny, I just had my guest before this is also somebody that teaches people how to do sales, but on the wholesale end for being brand new to the wholesale industry, doing a temp show, which no one tells you any rules other than you're not allowed to do this. They don't tell you, this is what we suggest for sales. And then they, they show up at a show and they have no tools, much like when you start a new sales job, you're hired for your background. You're hired because you can sell and because I'm guessing that you have some kind of resume that shows what you've sold, but they don't give you the tools. Like, that is your job. And I feel like this gives people the tools and the knowledge and the power of authority to be that person's salesperson, but also where you are treating them like a consultant, or you are acting as a consultant versus a shawarma salesperson.
Yeah, it covers all of that. And the thing about it is, I would love that people that I would, you know, meet, and they would come into companies that I worked with, and they would say, I didn't get enough training, or I needed to know more about the product. And for example, I mean, if you read my book, it's like, I'm actually also covering the fact that it's not really about the product. It's not really about knowing details. If anything, one of the questions talks about, you know, that details can be the enemy, because that's also another thing that's making you seem really, you know, salesperson-y, you know, somebody that's literally trying to just, you know, go over, they always talk about, you know, benefits and all of this. And it's like, that's great. But if you look at the top brands, they're not going over, you know, Gucci bags and telling you about the buckles and that, you know, about, the leather and the quality of the leather. It's like,
right.
You keep it simple. You say, this is the best. This is the best product. Of course, you talk about things. And one of the questions I talk about, you talk about you solving problems for other people. You know, it's like, this is how I solve this by using this product, but you don't get into the details. Details just make you sound worse and like you're trying to really sell them. It's a relationship build. You're literally trying to tell them, look, this is the best thing for you. I'm here to learn about your business, and let's get this figured out, as you know, in so many words.
I love that you said the Gucci bag, because that's my favorite thing, but you're right. They don't fucking talk about the buckle, or Louis Vuitton does not talk about, you know, this, like the seams all match up and the word Louis Vuitton is never split. Right. Like, they don't ever talk about that, which is,
no.
When you think about it, it's like, oh my God, why am I spending $2,000 on a bag and no one gives you any information on it? Because you just want it. So let's
go
to the questions, some of the chapters of the book. One of them that I love was, do you know who's in charge? And it's really about recognizing your own authority. So talk a little bit about that. Because I think anybody in a sales position, sometimes, especially when it's like you said, rich people, like when I have my stores at Fred Siegel, and this is a story, and then I'm going to stop there. But I had every celebrity in the city shop in the store. It was amazing. We'd Cher come in, and Cher was like buying all this stuff. And, you know, she comes up and she's like, well, you know, and I'm sure you've seen this. Rich people are also some of the cheapest people out there.
Like, right.
You know, what kind of discount can you give me on this? And I'm like, okay, number one, Evie Corp. And you're really asking me, like, little shop girl. But it's like, I almost forgot my own authority, because I was like, oh, okay. Right. You know, it's like, and I thought that's why that really rung home to me. So talk a little bit about that chapter.
Yeah. So it's like, I made that the first one, you know, because a lot of people, especially in sales, they feel like it's all about catering to the person they're trying to sell or the client. And really, there's a lot of different questions that cover this. But the first one is, you need to know that you are in charge. You are in charge. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're a small company. I don't care if you're online. I don't care what kind of sales or clients you're looking for, you're in charge and you need to feel that way. You know all about your product or your service. You can just say F you and walk off. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but it's that extreme. And when you start thinking that way, you really can change and create a mutual relationship, right? It's not mutual if you're just, you know, it's like any relationship. If you're like the only one that's in love and worshiping the other person, it's not going to work. It has to come from both sides. So even being that, you know, salesperson on the floor or selling jets to, you know, to CFOs, you know, it still needs to be, you still have to be like, you know what? I don't need that company. I would love to have them, but you have to feel that way and they need to feel that way. That's kind of the beginning of all the other ways of creating relationships, is that equalness, that I'm in charge. This is, we're talking about my product, my service. I'm in charge of this relationship.
So I have a question, because a lot of times it's an employee who's not, she's not technically in charge. She's in charge of her sales and she's in charge of, you know, what she numbers she has to produce. But, you know, for the people where you get that little bit of insecurity of, you know, it's, I'm really not in charge. It's really my boss. It's over there, especially like one share, because share just asked me because she knew I was the owner. But if she, right, one of my employees, they would not be in charge to give that. Or, you know, I take that back. So there's one of our guests, Nathan from Nathan & Co., who I adore because he has put his employees and his salespeople in charge. Like he has said,
right,
we are not Home Depot. If this does not scan, you make up a number. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. I mean, be, you know, really think about what it should be worth, but, and don't lowball it, but certainly don't spend 20 minutes trying to figure out how much it is. I'm giving you complete control. You give them a price and that's good. So, but the people that don't have that, what, how do you empower those people?
Well, you have to realize, I mean, there's lots of other things to learn, but you show me any good retail person on the floor in any of the top, you know, companies that are left, you know, go to Saks and show me the shoe guy. He's in charge. He may not be the manager. If he's working there, he's in charge. He's reaching out to all his customers. He's sending them shoes that he thinks they like. He's doing that. She's, you know, he or she is in charge. Anybody that is any good at sales is in charge. They're doing these things. And that's what my book, you know, people are going to read my book that are great salespeople, you know, and they're going to be like, oh, I do that. Oh, wait, I do that. Oh, I didn't even realize when I did that, this, it actually really works, right? That's why it's called the mindset. People are going to be able to be like confident and reading and saying, oh, I'm totally in charge and I'm doing this. And then maybe on when they're saying, you know, do you know where the customer is coming from? Like, oh, well, maybe I need to get better at that. You know, that's like another question. Do you know where the customer is coming from? And that's not like they're coming from the valley or they're coming from wherever. Literally, where are they coming from? Are they married and the husband's, you know, got all the money, or, you know, are they, you know, using a coupon or whatever? I mean, the whole thing is trying to really wrap your brain, and it's okay, you know, where they're coming from, but it's kind of really wrapping your mind. And that's why it's a mindset thing. All of these things help in giving you confidence, right? And confidence and starting to create, you know, the dynamic of being good at selling. And that's, you know, they're all important.
It keeps going back to obviously a relationship with your customer, with Fred's. Like we had client books that my team would call and like say, this is back before social media, mm-hmm, phones. But they would be like, hey, you know, so we got Pirate Surf shirts and we pulled one in each size. If you want to come down and pick it up, or we'll drop it to you. But those relationships became so important that they were friends, not like,
right,
this is my salesperson at Fred Siegel. It was, hey, this is Michael. He also, by the way, babysits our kids, because you've forged this true relationship. And I think that's one word you keep talking about is a relationship, and that how important that is. One of the other chapters is, does your company really want this company? That's obviously working, selling companies, but preventing wasted effort. Okay. That is, you have to talk about that, because there are, I mean, and this goes to, because there's wholesale gift showrooms that listen to this, wholesale gift lines plus retailers. But I think everybody knows that they've all had that customer or that retailer, and they're like, fuck, why do we even open up this account? Because everything is a problem. So talk a little bit about that chapter.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just one of the really important things. It's not as exciting about other questions, but it really does help with you having confidence, right? Because you have to have this mindset to be like, okay, this is something I really want. I'm not wasting my time, right? You're going to be a completely different person when you know you're not wasting your time. And it's become even more important with this online sales. And, you know, anyone that's become successful in it is all about customer, you know, how much does your customer cost? How much did it cost to get that customer? How much, you know, is this costing you? How much are you spending here? It's how much time, all of these things. And that's why you don't have time to be, you know, wasting it on something that's right from the beginning. You need to have the mindset, is this really worth it? Because if not, especially when you're creating great relationships, you know, you need to move on to something that is sellable. It's like in my book, I put, you know, it resulted in, you know, 90% sales success rate, you know, it might even be higher, but I mean, I'm not cheating, but it's sellable business, right? These, I'm not wasting my time. I get 90% or more of the business that's actually sellable. So by using these techniques, and again, in the beginning, I was using some of them. I wasn't using them. It would be working. It wouldn't work. And I'd be like, what is going on here? What did I forget to do? And that's kind of also why, you know, it's an easy read. It's like an hour read, my book. So that's the great thing. So for all of, you know, people out there, this is not overwhelming stuff. This is literally about crossing, you know, crossing the T's, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's and starting to learn the things you are doing, you aren't doing, and then giving you the confidence to start creating these relationships that are going to, they're going to work.
Okay. So, cause I keep going through the questions because I love, like, I want people, cause like you said, it's an easy read. It, you know, 52 pages, I think. So it's like a crash course in selling, but I do love the way you laid the chapters out as far as the conclusion. Like, here's the conclusion. And I think a lot of any self-help, any book like that, that teaches you something, I've never saw the in conclusion. Here's the conclusion.
Well, and the funny thing is we haven't even talked about why it's called Don't Shut the Buck Up, you know? So, and it's really not throughout the whole book. It's basically that one of the first things that they were always teaching you. They're always trying to tell you just, you know, shut up and listen, shut up and listen, shut up. And the world has completely changed. So that was one of the reasons I was like, I have to write this book, is because your time face to face like this, you know, this is amazing. We're getting an hour. It's like, I don't think I've ever spent an hour with one of my, you know, clients or customers in the last, you know, 5 years, right? You just don't get that face to face time. You don't get all this time to go over all the things you need to say. And people don't even answer their phones. It's all about texting. And so if you do get face to face time, you need to, you know, with these techniques, not be a salesperson, but you need to start getting, you need to get out, you know, the things that you need to get out. You need to start creating these relationships. You need to start telling them, like I say about, have you told them who you've helped, right? So really powerful things. That's one of the questions. It's like, have you told them who else you've helped? You know, that's one of the things. It's like, give me 30 seconds and I'm going to probably try to use one of those, because you're able to tell them who you work with and solve their problem and get that, you know, get them past that point to where they're like, oh, I need to talk to Jason, or I need to email him, or we need to set up another meeting. You know, there's a million of them, you know, out of the 15 things that work in that way, but you don't have time to listen. You spend 5 minutes of the 5 minutes listening to them. They're going to move on and you'll never talk to them again. So that's kind of where the whole, you know, don't shut the fuck up. It's all about getting it out in the right way when you have that face-to-face time.
What is your favorite chapter and you feel like is the most important chapter?
You know, like I just said, the one, you know, I like the one where the most important one is basically, you know, do they, you know, it's like, did they hire you? So that's the last thing. And really they're all about that. So when I say them, you know, my favorite, the most important, it can take 5 minutes. I mean, obviously I've gotten really good at these techniques and I can get someone to hire me, you know, even though I'm selling them something, and then there is no more competition.
Hi guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode. Now for a message from today's sponsor. I'm so excited to welcome Sales Producers as the sponsor of this week's episode. Bonnie and her team's priority is to be a positive influence to their retail and vendor partners and are laser focused to create supportive, authentic, and profitable relationships. With thoughtful intention combined with a dash of serendipity, they've curated an eclectic group of brands that ensures every buyer finds products to enhance their unique merchandise point of view. You can join them on Instagram at Sales Producers Inc. or on Facebook at Sales Producers to see what's new and trending up. You can also visit their website, salesproducersinc.com, and you can take a tour of the showroom in 3D. You can see the brands they represent, plus other fun sections like seasons and reasons. And in the buyer information section, don't forget to check out their book recommendations. Now, back to our episode.
So all of these principles and all of these mindsets, they all create a scenario where you're not a salesperson anymore. You're someone that they've hired. You know, like one of the other ones is, you know, did you tell them whose team you're on? So, you know, whose team you're on? And it's like, well, that's dumb. You know, it's like, well, no, you know, you're on their team. You may be working for this company or you may be working for yourself, but really you're completely committed to their side. You know, I'm on your team. And by being on their team, and if, you know, it's all part of that getting hired, right? And I can literally in 10 minutes know someone has hired me. And then the competition just goes away. And then it's me and them against the competition. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, let's discuss. Well, Jason, their price is this, or they're going to do this. It's like, oh, well, the reason they're doing this and the reason they're doing that is that they've already hired me. So it's like now we're working together, right? To basically purchase or hire or do whatever the rest of, you know, this scenario, but it's like a team effort.
I want to talk to you a little bit about what you do for business anyway, because it's fascinating to me. And yes, you wrote this book, but I think that everyone would really enjoy hearing what you do because I'm even like intrigued by it. So your family has Mauser Diamonds. Do you still have
that? Oh, no. I do Mauser Diamonds, but that's more of a, you know, consulting fun thing. Yes.
So talk to me because you do a lot of things. So talk to me like,
oh, well, I did create hats with diamonds and shirts with diamonds. We were talking about that. And I don't have that line. I did have a line in Japan of hats and shirts with diamonds. So I was dealing with diamonds when I had the website called the Fine Art Collection. I was brokering, you know, really expensive artwork. So one of them, I had like the biggest bid on eBay at one point. I had a Van Gogh on there for $8 million. And fortunately, they wanted $10 million. So it's not a success story. But this was during the early days of eBay. And so there was also some diamonds I was brokering, and those opened up the world of diamonds, you know, even, you know, low-end diamonds. And then I created Mauser Diamonds. I did a hot look. I had a store on there for a while, and I was doing that. But it was always kind of really kind of a fun, unique outlet. Like I love designing. My crazy house is very well, you know, it's all about design. So
you're doing a lot of other stuff too. Like it's like even just what you just said, it's fascinating. Like
yeah, that's I know. Yeah, so I'm outsourcing. So I create products. From scratch. So one of the products for example, a friend of mine is a teacher from a whole family of teachers, and he wanted to come up with a better flag for flag football. So I helped him develop it, and I made it, you know, with my sources and overseas, and now Rugby USA uses it. So, you know, it's blowing up. And so that's a really fun outlet. So I'm in sourcing overseas, domestic sourcing, and, you know, that's a really fun outlet and thing that I do for lots of companies too, as it had on there, you know, from Cedar Sinai to City of Hope to Toyota to even, you know, Mammoth Mountain.
And you're consulting with them. Like how?
Yeah. So I do the sourcing. So I do any kind of, any product. I can create almost any product.
Wow. So if like somebody wanted to create, say, I mean, is it as simple as like, I want to do this water bottle,
yeah,
I want it to be my art, they go to you. And so that's incredible. See, I had no idea.
Yeah. I'm even doing some tanks for a company that, you know, wants to source them overseas, and it really from electronics to, you know, drinkware. To wearable.
How did you get into that? I mean, because that's to manufacture and source not only for yourself, but for other people, like you really have to have your hands in a lot of pots. Like,
I was actually working for a company and I had basically broken their all time sales record. This is when I was kind of developing the whole thing. And I was like, I'm not going to make, you know, enough money here. And I was going to leave. And I ran in. I met some guys that were actually doing some uniforms and things for Mondrian. And it was a similar business, a textile business. And they're like, hey, you know, this is similar. Can you help us? And then I started working with them. And as their business was growing, I was creating my own sourcing clients. And then I decided to just stay with the other company and then, you know, do And that's how it all started. So it is all started with, you know, simple clients, and then it was Toyota, and then Warner Brothers, and it just all became, you know, it depends on the client. So.
And you still use all these sales tactics in order to sell this service.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Yeah. You can use these, you use them at all times. I mean, you even use them when other people are trying to sell you, right? You're like, you're taking control of the situation. You're trying to manipulate things even from the other side. It really helps in all kind of mutual relationships. And, you know, as you read this, you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about how your relationships with everybody kind of is, right? Like, hey, are they doing this? And what do they have to offer you? So like one of the ones that's really, really important is people that are trying to sell people. And this goes for all retail, all, you know, merchandising, online, everything, is acknowledging what the customer is actually doing for you as well, right? They never do that. It's always about, what are we going to do? This is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. The most powerful thing is when you say, oh, you know, this is what you're going to do for us. We are so excited to be working with you because fill in the blank. And it really, again, it's just another technique that's in there that instantly changes the dynamic from you trying to be a salesperson.
That sort of feels like, you know, when they say feed the other person's ego, and it's not feeding, right. but letting them know like, hey, this is what you're doing for me. And it's like with me, I'm always the first one of my clients to say, like, I am so grateful you bring me back every year, because I know there's a lot of merchandisers out there, and I'm lucky enough to work with people for like 18 years. It's like, I know they have other choices, but I always make sure I end each season like, I just want to say how grateful I am that you bring me back every year.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're flipping the script on how people sell, and you're flipping the script on, I think, how you're changing how they feel about themselves when they're selling. Like, it's almost like you're giving them that boost of confidence where they can step onto a sales floor and know that, you know, they're still doing what they're doing, but treating themselves as well as treating their clients differently than, you know, the swarmy car salesman.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, not to, you know, cocky, but for whatever, but I really feel like anybody that sells, if they read this book in an hour, like, you could just be like, read this before you go to the show. I guarantee they will be better. They'll be learning, right? They'll be doing some of the things they will be, but they'll be conscious of it in a good way. And they'll be confident. Like, if they're answering these questions, like, you know, what does your product or service do better? And that's what's funny about these questions. Like, oh, yay, you know, everybody asked that question. But it's the answer. It's the answer that, again, is changing your mindset. It's about the real details. Like, what does it really do? Not, you know, on the fluff, not detail, you know? And it's like, not just like, oh, it has 50 stitches. It's like, again, that's kind of where I talk about. It's not about the detail. It's about the big picture. It's about, okay, what am I going to talk about that isn't so detailed, Arsene, that's going to really get to the root of whatever it is, the product or service, and not overwhelm them with details, you know? Oh, it's better. And then, you know, we're going to move on from there. And then it's like, are you really helping them? It's like, if you're really helping someone, and you should be, right, it's going to give you so much confidence. You're literally going to be like, this person really needs my product or my service.
And that's a great,
it's going to change their life. And again, when you read the answer, it's like getting beyond just the whole, like, answering the question as like a one sentence thing. And that's what I really like too, is as I was looking at some of the other sales, there's some similar concepts, right? But I kind of broke it up into like, I answer the question almost in like five or six times, because in different ways with examples. So you really understand that it's not kind of what everyone else is saying. You know, it's different. It's about transcending, you know, the normal relationship, sales relationship, and making it kind of a win-win, you know, for everybody.
As a salesperson, I have to ask you, so you're in a sales, you're almost closed the deal, and whatever happens, they decide not to. How do you turn a sale like that around where you were almost there and then all of a sudden, they've just walked? How, what as a salesperson, what, How
do the funny thing is that if you get good at all of these, it usually doesn't happen. And that's what I mean by the whole 90%, because it's most of the time, if you're getting hired by them, if you're creating, you know, like trust with it or without, but you're creating a relationship, they've hired you, you know, they know what you've done to other people. They know what they're offering you. You've kind of gone through this and created this relationship. It's going to be very rare that at the end, they don't go with you. And it might just be a completely price situation where they're like, I just can't do it. I'm just going to go there. But the great thing is that chances are, if that's the situation, you're going to get them back, right? Or they're going to really respect you for how you've handled it. So, you know, there is no real way of like, okay, how do you get them back right then? You've created this relationship. You've done most of these things, and you've gotten to where you're getting good at it. You probably won a customer in the future, even if that sales didn't go through.
It's really about relationship. It's really about building that relationship from the beginning and continuing on with that relationship. Do you suggest people, like if you haven't seen your customer for a while, reaching out and just like, my favorite salesperson, he's now the president of Socksmith. My favorite thing that he does is like, you know, he's created these relationships with these retailers, and he says like, you know, they may not buy from us anymore, but I'll pick up the phone and just like, hey, how are you? I just want to say hi and see. I mean, he does it with me, and I've interviewed him twice, and we've become friends with that. But, you know, I'm not buying with a store that we used to buy from him, so I don't see him. But he always just reaches out and he's like, hey, I just want to reach out and say hi and see how you are, which to me is like, it says to me more, it's less my salesperson and it's my friend.
That's an immediate. Yeah. So I am not the best person at that. Nobody's perfect. But those people are amazing. And they are doing, like I said, they are doing a lot of the things. And some of those people, maybe not doing even, you know, only doing some of them, but they really do create those relationships because they're just so friendly and they're so, you know, outgoing. And they are, and that's obviously an incredible skill. You know, I talk about, you know, it's like, do they like you, right? And obviously, they're going to like you, and you really like that person, and they may or may not. Again, it's about a mindset, right? Like sometimes they'll be like, oh, they've had bad situations or whatever, but they can still trust you and not like you. And that's, you know, there's also, do they trust you? And the great thing about those answers is they don't have to be yes. And the funny thing is, I'm always very friendly, and I talk about this a little bit, but it's like friendly, but business, because you can get too friendly and there's a while or weeks of time too, right? If you say you don't buy for them. So that's kind of funny how you're like, I don't buy for them anymore. And we're not in a relationship, but he calls and he's like super nice. He's like my friend.
How are you? But it's always it's like somebody for like
great.
The plus side of that is like one of the stores reached out to me and she's like, you know, what sock line do you love? And I'm like, Socksmith. It's like, it's
right.
A shot. I mean, 100%. And because it's a kick-ass line, but
and I feel like that's a huge skill. Yeah.
That relationship also means, you know, telling somebody else about what a great
right.
You have and what
yes.
Line. And the fact that he still keeps up like that, like, it's like, it makes me want to talk to more.
Want to be involved with them. Yeah. Yeah. And he's transcended the whole situation.
Yeah.
And that's, and the funny thing is that is really great. And then in this sales process, like as a sale process, when you're just starting and you're just going through, it's like, you want to create that friendship, but it also wants to be, you want it to be a business. Like, cause you will be have people that are like, hey, you know, like, what do you think about this and the Lakers and that? And it'll be like, oh yeah, the Lakers did it. I'm like, so here, we're going to do that.
Your little conversation just goes.
Yeah. Because you just end up becoming friends and not. And again, it is a sales book. And I find myself, it is a good skill to be friendly, super friendly and get along. I mean, you may not like them, so you don't have to be off. You know, they could be just, you know, someone you need to sell, you know, it's a perfect fit. And you get friendly and you focus it. You're very focused. And I talk about that a little bit in some of the questions. You know, it's like, if it's not about becoming friends. It's not, you know, shut the fuck up and make friends, right? It's sell, right? Yep. And so, you know, in that process, But anyone that has created relationships like that and they follow up, it's always going to be a good idea. Like, that's a whole nother book, right? There's a lot of those books, and I need to read some of those.
You'd be all right.
Yeah, you need to write the make sure you call everybody. And I have some friends that are like that, real estate, right? They constantly touching base with everyone. And that is an amazing skill. That is an amazing skill.
Tell everyone a little bit about where on your Instagram handle, if you're on TikTok, where to buy the book. Tell them give them all the.
Okay. So it is on Amazon. You can do the Kindle and the paperback. And then Audible is being done right now and get the first draft of half of it. And then, so that should be out in probably a couple of weeks. Oh, actually, by the time this comes out, it might be out.
And then
so the Audible will be available on Amazon, selling everything on Amazon. And it's Don't Shut the Fuck Up, and you'll find it. It's, you know, underscore without the U. So it's either, and the book, it's money. So it's F Money CK. Amazon isn't the easiest to search, but if you put it in there under books, you will find it.
We'll have a link to it in show notes. Which, okay, we have to talk about that for 1 second because we talked about it off camera the other day about the Audible. Because I find it fascinating when people write a book and then a lot of times they do their own reading of it. You're having someone else read it. You have to because people send in auditions, correct?
Yeah, it was amazing. I was planning on doing it because I know most of the people I know are all about Audible. And a fraternity brother reached out when I was sending it out about the book. And he said, are you going to do an Audible? And I said, yeah. And he's like, sent me the link and I'm already signed up. So that was really easy. And then literally within an hour, I got like 16 auditions and it was hilarious because you tell them what to say. So I took different, you know, things and it was like, Don't Shut the Fuck Up by DJ Bowser. And then it was like, DJ Bowser was like, oh my God, I can't make this stuff up. Like, I can't believe I have all these people auditioning and saying the words, Don't Shut the Fuck Up, which is really hilarious. And my fraternity brother has been doing it and he was perfect. I mean, literally was the perfect fit. I mean, I could have done it. It's pretty neat. They actually get 20% of the sales. And I thought it was cool to have a partner you know, he's going to be excited to do it and he's doing a great job. So it's going to be exciting and it'll be out, you know, soon. So
this is going to release and, I'll tell you what, but I love when you say that about hearing people say, don't shut the fuck up because when people like with my name of the podcast, there's definitely a group of people that get kind of bristled about it and it's so clear and it's
I bet yes
say it out loud like this is Michelle from the Retail Horror Podcast.
I know, I'm wondering how that's gonna go down. I know, and everyone asks me like what podcast are you gonna like Retail Horror and they're like Retail Horror. I mean, but that's the great part about it is it and that's why you know we covered it. It's literally only one small part of the book, but it is an important, you know, part, and it's catchy, right? It's like,
you gotta see, like, what I've learned is that I have my tribe, and there are other retail podcasts. Like, I guess I'm considered a disruptor as far as the podcast.
Nice.
Not like most of the podcasts about retail, and no offense to anybody, but it's old white guys. And cool retail, and we're talking about, you know, forecasting and numbers and retailers are sitting, everyday boutique retailers are sitting in their stores and it's like, this is great, but it's A, not entertaining and B, it's not helping my business. And for the people that have gotten over the name, like I found my tribe, but I have been told or suggested that you might want to think about doing another name. And I'm like, and I actually kind of thought about it and I was like, no, because that's, I mean, as obnoxious as it is, it's who I am. And it's not about whore. It's about, I've done every job in retail. It's like, I've literally whored myself out to the industry, but
right.
Industry that I love, but I've definitely found my tribe. I mean, and
you
find your tribe and that's why I said you're a disruptor.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. And I need to shock people into realizing that, first of all, sales can everyone can do it and it's not as scary and everyone is so afraid of rejection. And I literally created all of this because I didn't want to get rejected. It's literally, it was created from, I am sick of people. I don't want to be treated by like someone trying to sell them and sleazy and lame. And I don't like rejection. So that's what this entire concept is about, is being, having, creating mutual relationships and making money doing it and not being treated like, you know, a pushy person.
Swarmy car salesperson.
That's right. Right.
Salespeople, car salespeople.
Well, and that's why I didn't put in, like I said, that I don't want to be a salesperson. It's like how not to be, because it's great to be. It's really fun. If you're answering these questions, I'm going to help them and you're doing this. And I mean, obviously, it's really fun to be in that. If you're selling a product you really like and you're on the floor and you're meeting people and you're creating relationships, it's the best business. It really is.
100%. So, thank you so much for your time. I'll make sure we have all the links in here, and maybe you could do a giveaway of like 3 copies and we'll do.
Yeah. Oh, I'll totally do that. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll
100%, whatever you want.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And that is a wrap. 3 Tower Podcast is produced by myself, Michelle Sherrier, and Catherine Kalu. Our website, where you can find all of our episodes, can be found at www.theretailhorrorpodcast.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Retail Horror Podcast.